Our next poet tonight is Marjorie Stelmach. Marjorie Stelmach's first book, Night Drawings, on Helicon 9 editions, was selected by David Ignatow to receive the 1994 Marianne Moore Poetry Prize. Her second book, A History of Disappearance, was just published by Tampa University Press. She directs the Howard Nemeroff Writing Scholars Program at Washington University, St. Louis, and it's my pleasure once again to be sharing the podium with Marjorie Stelmach.
Thank you, Richard. Richard is a lot taller than me. I always follow him. It's kind of a cool night for ghosts unless you drove in from Kansas City. I'm going to read a sonnet. It's not a monster sonnet, a seasonal one, Autumn. Autumn. Soon again the dead will outnumber the living. Last night the moon was fat. I dreamt so many dreams, and all were death. I can't guess where green goes, sucked back under the earth to brood and bear a brash, relentless crop of weed and wing, or into the sallow sky to drop a pale green dusk, or help a wan sun to rise again a sickly dawn. And what a wilderness to mourn in, curbs lined with the rotting dead, this wailing in the wind, the severed hands of sycamores awash downriver, bereft of wrist or limb. Just where, in our faith or physics, did we ever consider what would come of this veined green benediction suspended above us all summer? Next poem is called Sleepwalk, and it's for my nieces who used to have terrible nightmares. Sleepwalk. I'm sorry, that was the wrong introduction. This is me. I'm the one with the terrible nightmares. Sleepwalk. I've taken to walking my rooms at night. I rise and weave through darkness, safer than daylight. When rushing for doors or phones, I smack shins against coffee tables. By night, my thighs grow orchids. My flesh burns with the clotted fire of stars. I pulse thin colors as I glide through dangerous, familiar places. I've taken to grinding my teeth nights. Grit sifts from the sheets, drifts down the hall. Daylight finds traces of my passing, white bone dust, soft as ashes. At this rate, I'll disappear in something less than a lifetime. Flesh crushed by day, bones worn down by night to powdered footprints, wandering among the glass casters. The first one in this book is about my nieces who used to have nightmares. It's called Her Father's Nightmare. When she wakes straight up screaming, he is there, his weight on her bed, his gravity against her, father and daughter, eyes narrowed to the glare of midnight. Something huge, she says. He has no answer. He watches his face stretch across her eyes while in the world behind, something huge draws back. And yes, it was just a dream. And yes, she's fine. And yes, yes, he can go. No, she is not fine. He knows this time she won't call, knows he's lost her. From his dreams, he'll watch her sink toward her own center. No one's daughter, while the beast gathers in all the corners. Since we seem to be calling back the dead tonight, this one's called Calling Back the Dead. And why? It's not as if we are kind, speaking always ill. It's not as if we're above morbid fascination, or worse, rude lapses of attention. Besides, they'd see us at our worst, scavenging our mirrors, picking at the privacies of dream, ungainly in our beds, worrying ourselves to death like beads. Consider the difference. We lump, while they wear auras like shivering trout skin, speak wind bells, touch luminescent, make meaning like love. smell no longer of diseases they will die of. Ask yourself why. Kneel and ask it. Ask quietly why. Listen hard. Then say it, the answer. Say it. Goodbye. And the last one is a piece of the 9-part poem that's the center of this Doorways book. So it's the first piece of Doorways, and the title of the section is In Other People's Dreams. And this is the one that Gloria put in that beautiful book. Very honored to be in that book, Gloria. In other people's dreams, I appear in doorways. I always know something they should know. I call them in to hear the tidings or out to watch the world do whatever it's doing. Sometimes I've come to warn them, no, don't look. The shuttle's crashed. The beautiful child's stillborn. Wait, the stairway's gone. Then I vanish, or my words wake them. Either way, my part is over. It's a gift of sorts, a calling. I appear and disappear my body like a wink or a moon, thin into rooms and out, as if my cells could take the shapes of ornamental spaces in the lacework of worlds. Meanwhile, in my own dreams, I move slow motion. Dream fields unfold like lifetimes before me, buffeted by landscapes I can't seem to fly. I watch my doorways fill with clear gaps where no one stands and never will again. I listen. No word comes. After years of being told at breakfast or in letters of my appearances, I've begun to feel an awkwardness in living. Our comings and goings, the expansions and contractions of the air between us, these cumbersome tissues we call our lives, how could these be real? And dreams? Words spoken in dreams stay, or they don't. Screams Doppler off into breakfasts. Words of comfort sink into the sweetened milk. If, in broad day, we suddenly turn and look over our shoulders at doorways, it's nothing. We know we're alone, but sometimes we think we may not be.